Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you and worship you. Thank you for loving us so much that you have given us a Savior. And today, as we celebrate families who are committing to raise their children to know, love, and follow Jesus, and as we celebrate with others who are taking a public stand to say, I'm following Jesus Christ and I'm showing it through baptism, Lord, we pray that you would be at the center of attention, getting the glory, because that is what you deserve. Lord, thank you that you have never left us alone. We have your Holy Spirit guiding us, empowering us in everyday life. And Lord, we pray that you would be exalted in our service this morning, that you would be at the center of attention. But Lord, we also remember that there are things you're doing all around the world. But right now, Lord, I think of the country of the Congo and the lawlessness and some of the suffering that is going on there. I think of the Ebola outbreak. And Lord, I do pray for Bill and Ann that you would bless the ministries that they're involved in. And Lord, temporarily as they're working in separate regions, I pray your mercy over them, that you would encourage them. Lord, thank you for the brothers and sisters in Christ that you have surrounded them with there who are carrying on your work as well. Lord, would you protect them from the militias running around? Would you protect them from the disease? And Lord, I pray that you would use them not only to heal bodies, but also to heal people ultimately with the gospel. We pray that you would do a work that is greater than we can ask or imagine through them and their colleagues. Now, Lord, we commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. At this point, what I'm going to do is our Run Kids ministry. That is up to fourth grade. You've got a special session. You can head out there. If you're older than fourth grade, you're in here. But up to fourth grade, you can head out. If you're visiting with us or if this is your first time, parents, you are welcome to go with your children to help them settle in with their classes up there. Your teachers will greet you out there and take you to your session. So this is everyone up to fourth grade. This is our Run Kids ministry. And we'll give them a chance to head on out. Well, as we said, this is a great day in the life of our church family. Baptism is so much to celebrate. Baptism is people standing up saying, I want everyone to know that I'm following Jesus Christ. Baptism is also a picture of the Christian life. If you walk away with one thing today, remember this: what happened to Jesus happens to you. And baptism is a picture of that. See, Christianity stands alone amongst all other religions because Christianity says what's needed to be done has already been done. Everyone else says you've got to do this, you've got to be good enough, keep these rules and regulations, and then you might enter in, but then you might not. But the message of Jesus Christ is, I've done everything that needed to be done so that you could enjoy life as it was intended to be. And Christianity and baptism gives us a picture of that. Jesus said this, some of the last things he said before he ascended to heaven in the Matthew's gospel. Jesus came to his disciples, his followers, and he said, guys, all authority has been given to me. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Making disciples is what we are all about here. That's the mission that Jesus has tasked his followers with. Well, what is a disciple? A disciple is a student, a follower, an imitator. And that's what we're called to do. Making disciples includes learning about Jesus, just getting to know him. It means learning to obey him. That when Jesus says something, we don't just say, yeah, that's a nice thought. When Jesus says something, we say, whatever I need to do to be in line with that, I'll do it. We obey him. Then he also says to follow him in baptism. Baptism, it's what disciples of Jesus Christ do. The word baptize comes from the textile industry. back in the days of Jesus' time, and there's really no adequate English word for it. They took the Greek word and they just kind of transliterated it into English. So we call it baptize. And baptize is what happens in the textile industry when a piece of fabric will get dropped into a vat of dye, and then that fabric, whatever color it was going in, would come out looking just like the dye. It would get immersed in there. That's why we do baptism by dunking. But your baptism is about much more than just getting dunked and going under the water. It's a picture of what happens when we place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's critical to our understanding of the Christian life. Because the Christian life can be boiled up in this: what happened to Jesus happens to us. And that's really good news. Let me explain. I'm going to be in the book of Romans, chapter 6. If you have the Bible, if you've got it in your phone and you want to follow along, that's fine. But in Romans chapter 6, Romans is like a short theology book, which kind of boils down, this is what Christianity really is. This is what we believe. And the first five chapters of Romans set us up for chapter 6, because in the first five chapters, it's all about the greatness of the good news of Jesus Christ, and that God's grace is greater than any of our sins. And the Apostle Paul, writing it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, almost gets carried away of, guys, this is amazing. And God knows how people think. God knows that there's going to be some bright spark in church world going, wait a minute, so the more we sin, the more grace we get. So if I sin a little bit more, then I experience more grace. What a concept. Then this is where the scriptures step in. What shall we say then? Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Are we to continue in grace, in sin, so that grace may abound? By no means. I like the way older translations put it. God forbid. What are you talking about? What are you thinking? How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. The gospel message is this: that all who receive Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection are saved from sin's curse to everlasting life. And the power of the gospel is that all who receive this message gain, experience new life. So what does this mean? Baptism is an image of the gospel. What happened to Jesus happens to us. Baptism pictures your funeral. Verse 5. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been freed from sin. Going under the water is a picture of being buried. And it's very personal, because what happens when we receive Christ, we're buried with him. Jesus Christ died to pay the penalty of our sin. It's a penalty that all of us owe that we could never repay by ourselves. So in a sense, we died with him. And when it says we died with him, it goes on to say that our old self, the body of sin, might be bought to nothing, put out of business. You know, my old engineering firm was recently purchased by a larger rival. And so my buddies that I used to work with no longer wear shirts with the old firm's logo on it. They've got the new firm's logo. They're now on the new firm's website. It's a new identity. It's a new home. The old way is gone. It's done away with. And in Jesus, we get a fresh start because he died on our behalf. And he says, you're going to die with me because you're going to receive the benefits of my death. And when Jesus died on the cross, he paid the penalty of our sin and offers forgiveness. You see, sin loves to remind us that we're not good enough. Every time you mess up, you're going to get that little niggle, that voice saying, you blew it. You're not good enough. You better not show up to church this week. What if your church friends knew about this? You're not good enough. To which we can respond as Christians, you know, you're right, I am not good enough. But Jesus is, and I am identified with him. And because Jesus is good enough, I can stand before the Heavenly Father clean and forgiven. We're no longer under sin's reign. Sin no longer has power over us. We don't have to submit to sin, saying, hey, come, do this, fall to this temptation. We're forgiven. Sin no longer has power over us. Sin cannot put a claim on us because Jesus says, I've paid for their sin. Sin can never come back to get you. That's our funeral. And the great thing, though, about this funeral is that we live through it to experience a wedding. The passage continues like this in verse 8. It says, now if we have died with Christ, we believe we will also live with him. More accurate translation would be, now since we have died with Christ, we live with him. See, Jesus didn't stay dead. That's another thing that makes Christianity stand apart from every other faith. Every other faith has a founder whose body is still in the grave. Jesus Christ rose. And he says to all who believe in him, this is going to happen to you. And while you are here on this earth, I will walk with you. Jesus didn't stay dead. When we're baptized, we go under. That's a picture of Jesus' burial. But then you come up out of the water. Right, Pastor David? You are going to bring him up out of the water, right? You come up out of the water, and that's a picture of the resurrection. Jesus rose to new life. And our new life begins the instant we place our faith in him. Yes, we will face the grave in this life. But there's much more beyond the grave to us. We can experience life right here and now, with God in us and the rest of forever physically present with him. We're risen with Christ. We're connected with him. That means you're never alone. You're never alone. God is with you. And you're empowered by Jesus to do the things he wants you to do. It's not like Jesus says, okay, great, you know, I died for you, now here's your ticket to heaven, you're on your own until the grave. He says, no, you're raised to this new life with me for the rest of forever. I will go with you. So get this. When you come to Christ, when you place your faith in him, you are forever connected to Jesus. What happens to him happens to you. The passage continues like this in verse 9. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In Christ, we are winners. Not because we're winners in and of ourselves, but because he won it all. And then he offers to share the spoils with us. Jesus defeated the kingdom of darkness. He inherits everything. And he says, I'm going to share it with all who believe in me. And this is all pictured in baptism. Verse 11 says, so you, Christian, all who have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. It's great news. It's a picture of the gospel. And the gospel message is this. The gospel is how you become a Christian. Because God sets the rules. And you see, all of us as human beings fall short of God's perfect standard. We don't measure up. We're not good enough in and of ourselves. But God loves us so much that he gives a Savior, Jesus Christ, God's Son, God in the flesh. He came to this world, lived among us, and did something that no other human being has ever done. He lived a perfect life. He didn't owe anything for his sin because he didn't sin. But he loves the world so much that he says, I will die in your place. That death penalty you deserve for your sin, I'll pay it for you. And the way you receive the gift of salvation is by believing that my death on the cross and my resurrection was sufficient to pay that penalty that you owe. That's the gospel message. You come to him by faith, by believing that his death on the cross, his resurrection, was enough to pay that penalty that you couldn't pay by yourself. But then the gospel is also a reminder of how we live the Christian life, because we live it on Christ's merit, not our own. It's not like we come to him by faith to punch a ticket to heaven, and then we've got to earn our way to everything else. He says, I rose from the dead to empower you and to give you new life, and I will walk with you. And all of that is pictured in baptism. Baptism only makes sense once you've asked Jesus to be your Savior, because what you're doing is you're declaring to everyone, I'm following Jesus Christ, and this is what's happened to me. I was buried with him. My sin has been paid for. I'm risen with him, and I have life with him for the rest of forever. And what you're saying when you get baptized is, where Jesus has gone, I'm going. What happened to Jesus happens to me. So I pray that everyone here in this room would know and experience what it means to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I pray that as we know him as our Savior, we would take our cue from baptism. Just as in the old days when the fabric was dropped into the vat of dye, it would start looking like the color it was dropped into. Our prayer is that we, who know Jesus Christ as Savior, would be like Jesus in the way we think, act, and speak. And all that imagery is wrapped up in baptism. Heavenly Father, we come to you now, and we thank you for the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you that Jesus has gone ahead of us and done everything that needed to be done so that we could experience life, real life. Lord, my prayer is that if there be anyone here that doesn't yet know Jesus as Savior, that today would be the day that they believe that Jesus died in their place and he has risen again to offer them eternal life. Lord, I pray for every one of us in this room that believing the gospel, we would say, Lord, I want you to color my life just that my life would look like Jesus. That's our prayer. And Lord, for those getting baptized today, I pray that you would give them strength, grace, and joy, and that this would be a great celebration for us as a church family. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me just tell you a little bit about what's going to be happening. We're going to sing a few songs together. Baptizees, now is your time to head on out. Pastor David will meet you back there. You can get changed and head in, and we're going to sing a little bit, and then the baptizees will come back, and we will have our baptism portion of the service.
Will you guys stand and worship with us?